show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's technology. We're a touch late. Now, normally we're about an hour late, but actually this week we're 5 days late because I'm crap at booking guests. What can I say? I'm sorry. And we've also got technical difficulties because I can't get even a green screen to work on this TV. So we've gone to an innovative five-way view. There we go. But Mr. Wheatley's got problems with his video as well, so he's a Minecraft dude at the moment. Joining me to discuss the week in technology, and what a week it has been. There has been some serious crap this week. There's no good stories at all in terms of technical depth, but in terms of taking the piss, it's absolutely rampant. Starting us off, it's Mr. Madden.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. How was good. Day one back at work after a week picking your nose?
Oh, it was awful. It's awful, and I've got to do it again tomorrow. Oh, and apparently the rest of the year.
Oh, is that it? You got no more holiday left now?
No, all gone. All gone until the 1st of January.
That's all right. You can live for the weekends.
Mm?
You love that.
And I do. And I do.
Good man. Next to him, it's Paul Minecraft Wheatley.
Good evening.
How's it going, buddy?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Yeah, so are you?
Is it the bandwidth your end or the bandwidth my end?
I don't think it's either. I think it's my computer because I rebooted before and it came back. Yeah, I've no idea.
Based on recent results, try dialing back in with your phone, because Kelly's done that, and apart from a couple of blips last week, it worked really well, so...
Ah, right, okay.
I think it reduces the bandwidth, so, because it's only sending out a lower resolution, so...
Okay, I might try that.
Give it a go. Okay. Next to him, it's Mr. Fox. How you doing, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. How's it going today, mate? You and I have had a few exchanges in the private.
Well, yeah, let's best keep that private.
No, they were good.
Friends at all left.
I did say that I thought that the Tom Daly thing coming out was because he's got a new book coming out, and I said it was going to be called Mein Kampf. But Foxy suggested I might not have the guts to actually tweet that out. And I haven't tweeted it out, so he might have been right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did nobody other than... at least 50% of the planet could be offended by that comment. That'd be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And last, but by no means least, righty, Ace Reviewer.
Hello, mate.
Man who can get an entire frigging building to work in a week.
I can.
Tell us about that, Paul.
So, yeah, I'm a happy bunny.
No, you need to tell everyone what you've done.
Oh, well, we had a whole new kind of huge building block put in, and the builders kind of handed over last week, and we had 5 days to get all the IT and AV and everything in. And me and my team, we struggled on, and we got it all together. And today was the first lecture in there, and everyone's happy. So I can stop losing sleep over it now.
All raise your glasses to Paul. Good man. And I spent the weekend down in Bristol. I went to see Anders and take a picture of his lovely young baby boy. And he gave me some beer. And Bristol Beer Factory, Ultimate Stout, is superb. Oh, yeah. And the Milk Stout's excellent. That's Paul gone. And and I went online, and it's something cool thing, or it could be, but I went onto their online shop.
Incoming call from MR.
That'd be Paul again. I went to their online shop, and they deliver. So I've ordered 36 bottles of Milk Stout. Should be here tomorrow. Next day delivery. Good on them. Big shout out. And thank you to Anders as well, because it was lovely. Landscape, Paul. Landscape, mate. Portrait video gets you shot, Moy.
I don't need that anymore.
Here he is. See? And look at that. Well, perfect.
That's fine.
It's flattering, even.
Hey.
Here's the five of us. We're going to discuss the week in technology. Jeff Bezos last night said that he was going to have a fleet of drones delivering your Amazon stuff in under 30 minutes. Amazon Prime Air. We'll discuss that in a minute, right now. The next wave of Windows updates is coming all at once across every platform, the whole shebang, which scares the shit out of me, I have to say. And some bloke, what was his name? I've got it here, James Howells. He's howling, most definitely, because he did have some bitcoins kicking around on a hard drive till the idiot threw the drive away. And at the current tally, based on the fact that Bitcoin's gone over $1,000 a coin, the drive that he's looking for in a landfill is worth $9 million at the moment.
Oh.
and to be worth even more as well, because the price keeps going up.
Yeah, I mean,
they're getting rarer and rarer, aren't they?
Well, 8,143,200
pounds or dollars?
That'd be dollars, I think.
That's about 15 pence.
Well, I'm going on Forbes, and Forbes had it at $9 million at Saturday. Forbes. So,
so that'd be wrong.
Might be. Either way, it's a shitload, and he's pissed off. And he's a real catch 22 because he hasn't got enough money to pay anyone to help him. But if he found it, he'd have enough to pay everyone who helped him. So he might be selling off percentages. Who knows? Don't know where the landfill is, but we'll have to wait and see. The week in tech then. Guys, what have you brought with you for stories? Mr. Madden starts off.
You've just done both my ones in the opening.
No, we hardly cover them in depth. So come on, what intrigued you about which story?
The first one, the landfill one, the poor guy, he got on the Bitcoin bandwagon in 2009 when it all kicked off, so he easily mined 7,500 Bitcoins.
Now, how do you mine a Bitcoin? I'm sorry, but you've said this to me twice this week, and I cannot fathom.
You go to a site, and you download a bit of software, and you turn your machine into a mining machine. So it basically crunches algorithms until, if you're really lucky, it solves the problem, and you get awarded, I think it's 5 Bitcoins or 50, one or the other. But the problem is, as each coin is generated, the algorithms get harder and harder and harder. So you need more powerful machines to crunch the numbers. You need bigger machines. And so now you've got people joining, like, mining farms. So they all pull their resources, their machines together, just like that SETI thing a few years back.
Right.
And then they mine Bitcoins en masse. And, of course, like a friend of the show, Andy Lee, He's a big fan, proponent of Bitcoin, but I don't understand it. It's still worthless currency unless a few shops are now taking it on board and you can buy things.
There's ATMs in New York for Bitcoin, though, isn't there?
Yeah, but again, it's still
life. I don't think there's actual ATMs.
No, there's ATMs. There's real ATMs that you can get Bitcoin transferred into cash.
But to get that. To get your actual Bitcoin into cash, someone takes a huge cut, you know, huge charge to do that, unfortunately.
Well, fair enough.
So you lose a lot of money straight away. But it just fluctuates so far up and down and so quickly. I don't know, I'm not jumping onto that bandwagon. I believe it's like emperor's globe sort of thing. There'll probably be lots of people saying I'm an idiot, but
that's apropos of nothing, yeah. No, but I mean, so if I've got a machine sitting crunching away, mm-hmm. if it earns me something, and I can realise that, then great. And if I can't, then what's it cost me?
Power, basically your PC will be running 100%
all
the time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, mine runs a fair old bit. I've got a Mac Pro that hasn't switched off in 6 months. So that's 200 quid straight away.
Well, you wouldn't need any other heating in the house then.
Mate, I've got an air conditioner up here, and it only ever runs on air conditioning. It never runs on heating in this office. It's bad. Muy bad.
Of course, a lot of governments haven't decided what they feel about Bitcoin yet. I mean, because they're seeing it as an illegal currency, so to speak, because a lot of people buy drugs and... It's even a hitman thing.
I was going to say, it's $1,000 a piece now, and there's a hitman thing that's associated with it. And one of the things that came out from some think tank on use of this as an independent currency said it attracted dark agents, unquote.
Because they think it's not traceable, but it is traceable. There is, because of the way Bitcoin has to be managed, it leaves a trail behind it. And all you need to do is be able to sync that trail up with an owner. Now, that bit is technically difficult, but still possible, apparently.
Mm.
So, I don't know. These things, this algorithm apparently is going to keep kicking out Bitcoins for another few years yet anyway. So,
well, apparently, though, the algorithm, people are spoofing the algorithm and they're stealing your Bitcoins off your hard drive now.
Well, yeah, I mean... huge market in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. If you lose, as this guy found out, if you lose your hard disk with that crypto key on it, if you lose it anywhere, if it gets stolen by someone else, that's it. Game over. Done.
Well, these guys are... there's malware that's coming in. I mean, I've been absolutely inundated with zip files from Amazon and from the post office saying they've lost my Christmas parcel. And if I'd have been stupid enough to click on that zip file, then who knows what would have happened. But there may well be a bit mining or a Bitcoin mining piece of software in there that would whip away that file.
Yeah, because there was that police force in the States who got the CryptoLocker virus, and they actually paid the ransom in Bitcoins to get the data back. Was it last week, I think?
Yes.
Bronwyn in the chat room has pointed a thing to the secret Hong Kong facility that uses boiling goo to mine Bitcoins.
Boiling goo?
A Bitcoin mine in Hong Kong uses jelly to keep cool, is on the verge.com.
Okay.
Will go to show you the value of money. The value of everything is nothing.
Exactly.
This is the ultimate, almost pyramid setting. I'm trying to think of an analogy. It's to the money market that the Esperanto is to the United Nations. It's just a made-up thing just to get round paying tax, actually doing anything for money, actually earning it. Somebody sat there and they thought, you know what, how can we destabilize the world in the most secure manner?
There is no gold reserve to back up this as a currency.
Let's just make up a currency.
There's no gold reserve for us, is there?
Oh, true. Good point.
No, it's still in the same room. It's just moved 6 foot over to the other side of the white line. But, you know, it's like, let's make up a currency. Let's give it a made-up value. Let's get people doing nothing other than crunching an algorithm that doesn't achieve anything either to earn this. And then eventually somebody will find a way of bringing that into the real world. It's like a barter system, and that's fine. As long as you're bartering for, I don't know, I will give you my expertise on something I know if you give me your expertise on something. And so there's no financial necessary gain. It's swapping maybe a thought or an idea or a skill, not necessarily actually build anything that's for any value. I really, really, really think this is a slippery slope. Sounds really 1984. That means a slippery slope. I think it's something that in a few years' time, people are going to open their eyes and go, can you believe we let that con, for want of no better word, con go ahead?
That's a good point.
You got some guys thinking his laptop's worth $9 million. It's worth $9 million if somebody's stupid enough to give him $9 million for it.
I reckon these governments want to
price it off for 19 million. It's absolute.
You can realise the currency, Alex. That's the one thing we have to point out, is you can realise the currency into
some extent. But at the moment, cash. We're realising currency in the same way as people were swapping tech stock 10 years ago when, you know, I could start a company, put an I in front of it, and it was almost all the same.
But it was real. Okay, I won't deny you there's a bubble that's going to be burst, but it can be realised to real cash.
It's only realised as long as the next person that's stupid enough to buy it at an inflated price compared to what you just bought it for.
I reckon this is why governments don't like it, because if we start questioning the validity of this, we can turn around and go, well, hang on, why is our financial institutes any different? We're just...
Hang on a minute, fellas, because there is a real issue associated with gold reserve. I mean, Bronwyn in the chat room says, all your gold is in Fort Knox. No, it's not, mate. We spent 100 years bumping people with nothing more than a piece of sharp fruit over the head and stealing what they had. There's an awful lot of it down at Threadneedle Street, I promise you.
But that's what I'm saying, but who decided that gold would be valuable? It was just a mineral in the ground at one point.
Whoa, hang on a second. let me just correct another premise here. If you took every piece of gold that there was on the planet and you made it into a volume, a three-dimensional shape, how big would it be?
Well, I know the answer, one. So I'm not joining in.
It would fit underneath the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah,
underneath, not the Eiffel Tower. It would fit underneath. It literally fills two or three swimming pools. That is
it's the Olympic swimming pool. That is the cubic capacity of it. It's
one Olympic swimming pool. There you go. Yeah. That is all the gold in the entire world.
There's more than that in Goldfinger.
they dipped on the Blackman in it.
But to just clarify what Carl's point, he's right, because as soon as you bring in quantitative easing, where you're just inventing money out of pie in the sky, that's as close to Bitcoin as you can get in the real world.
And that's a great film called The Counterfeiters, which you've got to watch. It's superb.
Right. What was the point of that?
I've no idea, but no, because quantitative easing, that's the way that the Germans tried to break the US and UK economy by making forged currency. Yeah, and it they used Jewish prisoners of labour who were superb at their art. And prior to the war, they'd been living it up in the casinos at Monte Carlo and all that kind of stuff. So it's a cracking film. And I've got to say, it was such a good film, but by the end of it, I was convinced I could speak fluent French. I'd watched it that closely and not paid any attention to the subtitles. It was that engrossing.
Hello, type French.
No.
You do speak French all the time. I hear you bleep it.
Jean-Emar, absolutely I do. I think Bitcoin is a serious issue because it could, as Alex says there could be destabilisation of governments with it if they're not careful. Because governments will latch on to what they think they can make money from and what they can look at utilising.
Well, I did hear some. Well, just like while you're wrapping it up, I did hear somewhere that they're trying. Some parties put forward the possibility of using bitcoins in presidential financing, like the campaigns. And because Bitcoin is semi-anonymous, you'll be able to get big companies backing billions, to the person they want to win. And no one will know.
Now, that does scare the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Companies already run government as it is. So, Mr. Batwin says, Bitcoin is just the same as any currency in principle. It's not backed by any government at all. I don't know. And Bronwyn's put a link in for the Wikipedia entry for the counterfeiters. There we go. Go and watch it this weekend. You too can be convinced that you can speak French within an hour and a half.
May we?
Monsieur Wheatley, what do you have for us, mate? Did you bring a story?
The Amazon story that you mentioned at the beginning.
I'm glad I didn't go for the
story. That was like two stories this week.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, that's it.
To be fair, I got mine off of CNET, so I'm kind of hoping that makes it unique.
You could have got yours off some fish and chips, mate. it's that higher quality.
So this is the idea that Jeff Bezos reckons he's going to be able to deliver parcels within half an hour with Amazon Prime Air within the next 5 years. I think this is fantastic. I know we're not getting the UK because of our air laws, but this is awesome. Now, I want it to happen so badly.
The air laws are the same in the US, I'd like to point out.
Are they really? I thought they were slightly more lax than that kind of stuff.
No.
have you been to America recently?
Yes, I have. No. I meant... yes. I meant that they were... on the whole kind of drone thing, the government likes the idea of drones. Well, that was my understanding.
The way it stands at the moment... in the UK and the US, you can control a UAV up to 500 metres from your point of origin. But you must be under control of it for the whole time. If you have it on a mission plan where it flies like an automated autopilot route, you have to be attendant so that you can have a manual intervention if it goes off cue. For commercial reasons, you need a permit. You can't fly it commercially without a permit, and that's the same in the US or the UK. And neither government allows for autonomous UAVs. So.
But then 5 years ago, we would have been saying there is no way you're going to be able to use your iPad on takeoff, and that now is the case. So,
my thought process with this is you've got the issues of the fact that you've got this thing has got to take off. For the first, I think the one bonus of this is the fact that the hobbyist is going to get a phenomenal battery out of it. Because at the moment, I've got an 8-blade quadcopter behind me, and I get 3 minutes of flight out an 8,000 milliamp hour battery. I mean, it's that bad at the moment. I mean, unless you were within walking distance of an Amazon depot, you are not going to get half-hour delivery on this thing. And he's talking 10 miles. Well, these things aren't going to cover 10 miles in half an hour based on the current specs that you've got.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why they're saying 4 to 5 years as well. I totally understand all the problems with it, but I think it'd be fantastic. I can't wait for this.
It would be great. In terms of flying cars, it would be fantastic. But, I mean, the interaction with air traffic control and all that kind of crap is just unbelievable.
I don't want Amazon to do it. I want my local Offie and my curry house to do it.
But I heard that your curry each week weighs more than £4.
It could, in fact, if it comes from the offee first, then goes and gets the curry, then brings that to me, that would be even better.
Yeah. It's just a matter of time before Amazon start doing booze anyway.
Oh, if only.
Well,
you live
no.
in the flat.
What about?
You have to leave your window open.
Andy Anatko did tweet out earlier on today that he said this thing will never fly until it extends a huge white-gloved finger on a crisscross like reach-out stick thing. He's right. And where are you going to sign?
Yeah, good point.
My delivery driver leaves stuff in my blue bin all the time, so I don't think a signature is absolutely mandatory.
Well, based on the technology at the moment, mate, this thing could land in your blue bin.
I can imagine certain Americans shooting these out of the sky anyway.
Well, I mean...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're launching this everywhere except Texas.
The package is just going to hold a hard drive full of bitcoins. That's what they're going to be delivering.
Nothing.
I mean, it's a lovely talking point. An absolute waste of time, never going to happen in my lifetime type thing. It's just not going to happen.
Thing is, old Jeff Bezos, he thinks big, doesn't he? That's one thing I've got to say about him.
Have any of you read his book that came out a couple of months ago?
No,
I wasn't. Somebody else wrote it about him. It's quite good.
No, I was planning to read it, but that's going to be on my first space flight.
But that is it. I mean, he does think big. He's good. And actually, I was quite surprised. He comes off as quite a quiet, soft, spoken gentleman, and I wasn't expecting him to be quite the kind of Steve Jobs fiery type as he was, or certainly was portrayed in the book anyway. I was quite surprised.
You've got to put it in perspective, the fact this guy decided not that long ago, 10 years, that he's going to sell books on the internet and made enough to buy a space fleet out of it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
and the newspaper.
He's got money behind him, so and money talks in the US. I mean, the FAA have already said 5 years is highly unlikely. They're talking more like 2020 before they even start to begin to think about this, let alone implement it. But he's got the money to grease the right wheels.
He has.
He's used to taking risks, though, isn't he? Because Amazon ran at a loss for... He's always taking risks. That's got him where he is, where he's got today, so...
Loss is an inverted comma, surely.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's because he reinvests it all, so...
Yeah. That's why he makes no profit, because he turns it around and puts it back into the company. Just
have you seen his house?
Pays the workers.
Have you seen Jeff Bezos' house?
No, they're nice.
No, his council tax, in inverted commas, is $239,000 a year. That's just what he pays to the local community for the land occupancy that he's got. So, makes no profit. Mm-mm.
No, the company, he probably does, but the company
he'll be getting a wage, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be getting a big wage, plus divvies and all that kind of stuff. But
I think from what I saw on, I think it was Panorama earlier on, must be last week now, because we're Monday, I think if they're going to invest in technology, they should invest in some technology in their warehouses so the people that aren't running around with these counters that count down, it's got an exact second to when they're supposed to pull things off the shelf and run around. I think they should put some technology in there that either employers... as much people as they actually need to do the job without running them ragged and running them, you know, to the bone, or an automated system that does it all for them. But you know,
the book that I just talk about, it talks about a lot of the automation that they put in and how they still know that they haven't got it right because they're running such a big operation. They've got all sorts of things like lights on the ground and special lifts and all that kind of stuff. And they're continuously investing in the warehouses for that very reason. They just haven't found the secret sauce yet.
Sure. And it's just the quotes and some of the things I've read in the paper where staff have left and basically said that is by far the worst job I've ever had.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of folk in the book as well who said that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a necessity. So as much as, you know, let's have the delivery. But I want to know where these people are going to be earning the money to buy things off Amazon if no one's got a job because everything's being delivered by drones. That's another
thing. It sounds like 20 years ago when everybody was saying, oh, everybody's going to be made obsolete with computers.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you're going to have job creation, you know, drone cleaner. That's
like drone. You're always going to need somebody to build the drones.
And now everything's been made obsolete by themselves. No, I think the problem, one of the things that Amazon's got as a real issue is the fact that they've expanded so rapidly.
Yeah.
And the quantity of what you can buy on there is exponential in terms of growth. I mean, the thing that struck me, and I'm going back a year now at least, Paul, was that you told me I could get finished dishwasher tablets on there on Prime for £4 less than you can get them in the supermarket, and they were delivered next day free of charge.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was with Andy Vaughan this weekend, and he said, oh, do you want one of my Nespresso? Yeah, oh, I'll try that, yeah. And lovely, lovely latte. And he said the little inserts are quite expensive, but it is the best coffee going. And I said, have you tried Amazon? He went, I never thought about that, but yeah, probably. And
I get everything delivered. It's awesome.
It is. I mean, but that's where their problem comes, because they've realised they can sell everything, but they haven't got the capacity to deal with everything.
Nappies are an amazing deal.
Really?
They're like 25% cheaper than you would pay for in Tesco's for nappies, and they get delivered on, like, they just arrive at my door every kind of month or few weeks or something like that. It's fantastic.
Have you got, like,
I bought a shed from Amazon about a month ago. A full, like, 9 foot by 7 foot shed.
That's the nappies, eh?
Yeah.
That's where we keep the baby.
Really? You got a whole shed?
Yeah, yeah.
What I can't get over as well is I ordered like one of those little like the hospital thermometers. Brian had a temperature this weekend, and our little thermometer, the Calpol thing, shit. So I bought one that's like the hospital thermometer, the Bosch one. So I ordered that. I ordered it yesterday morning. It was dispatched yesterday afternoon. It's here today, and today's a Monday. So.
Mm.
And I ordered a TV at like a grand, and I'm not going to get it for a week.
Different warehouse, isn't it? That's terrible.
Well, yeah, well, out of Mongolia.
Mm. Just looking, I went to Wikipedia. Revenue for Amazon last year was $61.9 billion. And its net income was minus $39 million.
They lost $39 million.
Yeah.
Good lad.
That's where it's always.
He's got a bloody good accountant.
There's a lot of coaches in their warehouses.
Yes,
he's got a bloody good accountant. Alex, I think you're not on your microphone. I think you're on the iMac mic, by the way.
Maybe
there's a lot of echo.
No, I don't know.
Never mind.
I'm not. Never mind.
It's your turn, Mr. Fox. What have you got for us?
Okay. Well, if you can hear me through the echo.
No, we hear you. We got you. Fine.
Okay, now I had a number of stories because there was none that really, really grabbed me as very interesting. And I thought, you know what? What's better than to have a photographic phone story that has got Windows Phone and RAW photography in the same story? I got an argument with So I thought, you know what? Although we haven't had this discussion for a while. And I think this brings in everything that we could ever discuss in the photography realm.
Fight.
I just get comfy in my chair.
No. Right. There's some history here. Just a little bit.
Okay, so
Nokia updates its camera rack for RAW image shooting.
Yes.
Right. Now, I found this really interesting because one of the arguments we had going back in time was I quite agree with you, and to an extent, when you're using a good camera that does take a good picture for you without an awful lot of effort, if you don't want to do anything amazingly special with it, nothing wrong with a JPEG, or, you know, that's fine, no problem. And my argument was always, but when you've got a camera phone and the phone itself is pretty great, the picture on it's not brilliant, then maybe RAW would actually be an advantage because there's all the recovery that comes with that format and, you know, the exposure compensations and various things. So anyway, Nokia, having built the by far the best camera into any phone that's ever been built, irrelevant of who you're a fanboy of or not, the Nokia camera is the best phone camera on the market by a gajillion miles. They've now enabled RAW photography support. And the DNG universal format, which means you don't even have to pay Adobe to be able to use it. And away you go. I'm really, really pleased. I think this is a really good step forward. There are other manufacturers that are talking about allowing...
Mate, you're all right. We're not the BBC. You can say what you like.
No, I just can't remember who the bloody hell it was. There are other manufacturers, which I read about an hour and a half ago. And I think it's a really, really good move forward. And as it's probably the only technical thing I know anything about, I thought that was an interesting point.
Too right. Well, number one, I never said there was anything wrong with Raw. Which I get this every frigging week. All I said was, Raw's a tool. And it's like any other tool that you've got in your toolkit. If it works, if it's a screwdriver, use a screwdriver. If you need a hammer, use a hammer. So I'm totally in agreement with Alex. Totally in agreement with Alex. And it's great because it does. I've got it on my 1020. And it came through on the update about a week ago, week and a half ago. Superb.
Yeah, just the thing is, you know, the indoor, I don't know, what we used to call the handbrake camera, the shooting your mates in the pub, that sort of picture, Raw is going to solve an awful lot of issues. I mean, not necessarily for the user that's going to point and shoot, but there will be an image on that camera that if they go, you know what, I really like that image, I wish it wasn't quite so grainy or so overexposed or whatever, it can now be recovered.
My problem with...
Give it to somebody with a bit of knowledge, and there you go, you've got a nice picture in the end.
My problem with Raw, though, Alex, is people are going to start thinking that Raw will do everything for them. If you've shot in 800 ISO, 1600 ISO, and it's grainy, Raw does nothing for you. Absolutely nothing for you.
The noise reduction after the fact is easier. You're not going to sharpen it. But, you know, that's just a technical
graphic. Realistically, what is Raw going to give the average person in their cell phone? No, it's given the ability for white balance post-production. It's going to give them the ability for recovery of lost and hidden detail in the image, and that's it. They're getting virtually nothing else from it.
No, but what you could do is, I mean, someone like Nokia, a big enough company, especially as it's going over to Microsoft, isn't it? You could build into Microsoft a built-in Raw, you know, like when you open your pictures. I can't remember because I haven't used Microsoft for ages. Is it called Picture Viewer or something? Windows Picture Viewer? I don't,
because I use it with Windows. I just use iPhoto, and it imports direct to iPhoto using the app.
Okay. But because of Microsoft, and that phone part is going to be owned by Microsoft very, very shortly in its total. Because I was reading earlier, they've just been given the go-ahead for the takeover. So that's news just out. But they could actually put that functionality into their Windows software. So when you open it up, it will give you a raw conversion. But it could also give you the options of what you want. Reduced noise before sharpening. The things that the camera really can't do on board properly, you could do externally now, which, you know, look, this is a decent camera on a decent phone. It's going to give you a decent image. This is also going to give you the ability to get the most out of that decent image. So I'm just praising Nokia. I think it's a really good move.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It now says to me, if I wanted a spare camera in my pocket, I would be looking more at the Nokia than I was before they did that update. I would be looking more at having that Nokia than any other camera now.
I was with a customer last week, and he said, I want to get a handbag camera for the wife. What do you suggest? And I said, Nokia 1020, Lumia 1020. And he said, isn't that a phone? Yes. Get her a new phone, get her a new camera at the same time, mate. It'll be your lucky night, I promise you. She gets both. And the thing is, if you get the battery grip with it as well, you've got a perfect little handheld portable camera, and the Nokia 1020 in good light is as good as anything that you've got in a compact camera market. When you get into low light, it's as bad as everything that you've got in the low light camera market, and a bit better than most, to be honest. But when it comes down to it, if you shoot a bad image with it, it's a bad image. You know, you're not going to, even RAW isn't going to save you in that respect. And that's one of my problems with RAW, is that people shoot in RAW because they think it will save their arse in post, and it won't. Shit photography, shit photography.
Yeah, I know. I make a living out of it. Yeah.
Okay. No. I agree with Alex. Absolutely 100% agree with Alex. Anyone else got a comment to make? Because there's only two of us talking here.
I have no idea about cameras and stuff. Yeah. Basically, the way I work is if an image on my screen looks similar to what I took, then I'm happy.
That's not a bad start.
You want a job?
Alex's assistant.
Yeah, there you go. You can carry mine.
In fact, actually, you may be vastly overqualified.
I have to admit, I don't take very many photos. I mainly take screenshots. Bizarrely, that's the only thing I really capture that goes in my camera roll is screenshots of apps or websites and stuff.
I was going to say, that wouldn't be bad, but it's a real bugger carrying around a 27-inch Mac every time I go to work.
Yeah. Right, Righty, I'm looking forward to your story, mate.
Oh, how are you now?
Well, because no, basically because there's sod all left in the week.
Okay. Well, this is something that really disappointed me last week, because there's no secret that I'm kind of slipping away from iOS and the iPhone as my kind of as my phone. And obviously, at the moment, you're liking the Windows Phone. I don't know if it's going to give me what I want at the moment in the apps. But the one thing I like about Android is obviously being an IT tech, you can like hack it around and do all that sort of stuff and put do ROMs on it and all that. But you've got all that faffing with gold cards and routing it and all that sort of thing. The other week, I was really excited when CyanogenMod released an app for the PC where you could just plug in your phone, basically, download a companion app for Android, and it did all the work for you. I just thought, well, I can get an Android phone now and I can just do what I want, try all the images that I want. But last week, Google actually pulled it from the Play Store.
Why?
Apparently because they reckoned it voided warranties, but then that's what people have been doing on Android phones for years. So the one time that it's actually kind of an accessible tool for people to use, they actually pulled it.
Oh, dear.
And I'm thinking, the reason I kind of am interested in Android is it being so open source, but is it now that it's becoming less open source because they're trying to claw back their ecosystem now, aren't they, with...
Well, I was about to say, aren't Google pulling back an awful lot of this idea of openness?
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, well, if they're going that way, maybe I will just stay with iPhone. And is it that people on their phone don't really care about open source? They don't care about... They just have the walled garden with the apps, because when that was the Ubuntu Edge phone came out, that'd be like completely open source. It was a really attractive phone, but no one went for it, did they? No. And then this week... the people who used to work for Nokia, is it the Yola phone they've released this week, which is the phone that Nokia would have released had they not gone to Windows 7, Windows Phone.
Ex-employees.
Nokia separatists, as they call them. But it's just interesting that everyone's Google's pouring back, where the most important bit was the fact that it was open, but it isn't anymore. So I was kind of gutted, so I'm probably staying with iOS now.
I wouldn't say it's not open, though. I'd say what they have done, and this is Google, I think they've gone and said, look, you're going to hack it. It is open. You're going to hack it. We don't want someone to come along and give you a one-stop hacking program. I think they just want to say, look, if you're going to hack it, at least you can make the effort. You know, it's just like saying giving everyone an app store with a skeleton key. You know, if you want to pick the lock, then pick the lock. But I'm not going to give you a skeleton's key and you can download it for 69 pence or whatever. That would be a bit silly of them to allow that. So, because you're going to get people hacking it that have no idea what they're doing now if you give them an app that allows them to break into it. Whereas, you know, if you had to go the normal route, it at least shows that you know roughly what you're doing in the first place.
There's a good point in that, because, I mean, that in the hands of me, that would be a travesty. Absolute travesty.
Yeah, you'll be going back to Google next week and saying my phone don't work.
Exactly. I mean, I've forgotten his name. I can't remember it. No, as Jonah Mack says, Ewan's version of Hello World's still in beta. And he's right. Absolutely right.
Yeah, you're still a Hello Kitty.
Thanks, mate. I couldn't get Briny's VTech working on the drive on Saturday. Ridiculous.
There's no doubt that Google's in a real mess with the kind of fragmentation they have with Android, because at work, people bring a phone in and we try to write documentation for our wireless networks and all that sort of thing. And you can't write documentation for Android phones anymore because there are so many versions out there.
Well, here's the question. Is Google kind of losing the plot a little bit about what it was about and what it is about? Because I think it's getting the idea of the fact that it's about selling adverts, which it always has been, so that's fair enough, and returning searches on Google. But it's starting to take the things that it's got, and it's trying to commercialise them to the point of over-commercialisation. I mean, YouTube yesterday, for the first time, I came across a video that showed me a pane that said, go and see this new video. And when you rolled over the red X in the corner, actually that red X wasn't part of that frame. It would open another frame. So when you clicked, it would open a completely different video. So there was a square there I could never get rid of that was constantly across what I wanted to watch. And anything else I clicked, wherever I rolled on the screen, it would have a pop-up that would come up behind it, and then it would open up another video to get the clicks, to get the hits, to get the money back from Google. Mm. And there's a certain element of me looking at Google, and, well, someone puts a thing out on Twitter, and there's a 30-second little pre-roll thing that goes on, or a 30-second video, rather, and there's a 30-second pre-roll to go with that 30-second video.
Yeah.
And I see it come up, and it says, you've got 30 seconds to watch, and it's counting down. I'm like, you know what, bollocks.
But that's the person that owns the channel doing that. I mean, YouTube have given them the option, but then they've decided to, like, click it and do it and try and earn revenue that way.
Okay, but I don't choose the length of the advert. Whether it's the banner at the bottom or whether it's the you can skip it after 4 seconds or whether it's the full 30 seconds and be damned, that's not my choice, is it?
No, I thought the options were, do you want to make, I don't know what it is, I would call it 4 pence or 10 pence. That's the option it gives you, how much money you want to make with every view. And if you want to make 10 pence with every view, then you've got to annoy your potential viewers more than you would have before.
Well, now, here's an interesting thing as well. If you go back to the Missy show, you remember the Missy show when it was on Bagel Tech?
Right.
There was one episode called Does Size Matter? And if you go on YouTube, it's got 86,000 hits. Now,
really?
Yes. Now, I just keep getting comments that came up in my email. I used to just disregard them. Then all of a sudden, it went ballistic, and I started getting them more than I could delete in an hour. So I went to the video, and I monetized it. And it was at 86,060. It's never, since I clicked on monetize, it's never got past 86,000. And it's been 6 months, 8 months since I said click monetize.
Yeah, but people searching for that phrase are going to instantly see it's not what they want, whereas before it would count as a what? A view.
It depends if the first bit is one of Carl or of Miss.
That first, isn't it?
No, I don't know that it does. I don't think the habit of the person that's going to it has changed in the slightest. I think the fact that the promotion of it has changed because Google know that they're going to have to pay out on it.
Oh, right.
So they downgrade it in the search results. And the other thing I've had... is I've had people who've challenged some of the videos that I've put on, saying, oh, you've used our music, so we want all your money. And to this point, I've successfully challenged all of them because the music that I've bought, I've got off Pond5.com. And I've written to Pond5 on every single occasion, and YouTube have never quashed the allegation, ever.
It's always been
when I've written to Pond5, and Pond5 have obviously contacted the artist and said, oi, you promised this would be fine on YouTube, and then they've backed down.
There's a company in Brazil that was just like claiming it was their copyright on virtually everything. Yeah. And because, you know, once it's issued, Amazon has, YouTube has to respond, and they have to take it down, so otherwise they lose their safe harbor, you know, standard. So what you tend to do is some people fight it if it's money they depend on, but most people just go, oh, stick your advert on then and forget about it.
Yeah. I think Google's losing the plot. I've started a blog post that's called about, you know, Google is becoming unuserable in the sense that the user is getting to the point wherever they go to something in Google, they're switching off from it. If you want to look at something that's knowledge-based in Google, you don't get knowledge. What you get is what's the word I'm looking for? The scaremongering. You type in, oh, you know, the doctor's prescribed me this drug. So you type in the name of the drug. You don't get a Wikipedia article that's constructed based on medical knowledge and functional description of what the drug does. You get something back that says, oh, no, that gives you testicular cancer. My uncle had it, and he got testicular cancer, so therefore it gives you testicular cancer.
Yeah. Well, if they're wrong. I agree.
But that gets the hits, that's the trouble.
No, I agree with you. I've obviously worked on a lot of art websites, and I've worked on a lot of websites for artists that are, you know, good friends of mine, so I sort of follow what's going on. And quite often, every 3 months or so, I'll sort of look through my bookmarks and I'll see an artist's name and go, oh, I wonder how that site looks 6 months after I worked. You know, because you go back to want to know if it was any good or not, because you don't remember, do you? And you go back and I do a search, say, for their names. And this is their website. They've got individual names. They're not even common names. And sometimes it will be on the second or third page of Google results because of every company in the world that does that. Basically, they take an image, right, that they offer to make you a canvas of this artist's work. And then once they've got the go-ahead, then they write to the artist and ask if they mind if they make a canvas, and they'll give them 10 pence for each one or whatever. So the people, the actual, that's their website. They can be on the third page of a search because of the way Google works. If it's monetized, it's first.
Yeah.
And because they're not selling anything.
Well, to a degree,
well, off the back it's of SEO. Yeah, SEO as well, not, though. One of the things is, one of the SEO...
I do it every week for one of my artists. Right? And if I miss a week, they go down about 10 places, right? And it is their name, right? It's all their work. And the only people that get above them are various companies around the world that say, I'll put this on a T-shirt for you. So they just, they scan all the art sites. They scan an artist's name. They pull an image off the internet. You know, they don't even have rights to have these images on their sites. But they come up higher on the list because they're generating throughput with, they don't even use that name. They've got kids around the world playing SEOs every day, and that's, Google needs to do something about that. There needs to be a ranking system based on what people are actually looking for rather than what Google want to sell you.
No, it's not necessarily Google. No. What it is it's looking at how often a site updates. One of the things is how often it updates. And if their robots keep, spiders keep going back to that site and sees it updates a lot, that will go up in the rankings.
Okay, fine. Then they need to change their algorithm to stop that from happening. Because,
well, they always are.
Well,
they say anyway.
I'm tired of having a click all the time and asking people that do this for a living, Brian, can you just get me up a bit? Anyway, I'll throw you a few quick. Can you just get me back up a bit? Because I just haven't got the energy to do this anymore.
Have we got some interference off someone?
I can hear it. I don't know if it is me.
I can hear it as well.
Yeah, I can hear
it. It's not Alex because he's on mute, I'm guessing.
I've just muted and come back again.
No.
Yeah, I went down to unit.
Oh shit, it's me.
Yes.
Well, I've clicked mute and it's gone off.
Uh-oh.
And then it's coming back, so there we go. It's me. It's definitely me. Hang on.
Yeah, you're better off.
This may hurt your ears. Back. I am back. Oh, here we go. I'm here.
Yeah,
sounds like your compressor's on its way out.
Yeah, someone did post in the chat room. That is a huge apology on my part because that was based on the Bristol that complaint should go to Bristol Beer Factory, care of Ultimate Stout Department at 7.5% volume. I didn't mean that in the slightest. Yeah, apparently Fort said that he told us that our sound was shit earlier on, so there we go.
Give it a content.
My pick, this week's story for me, is the Volkswagen A-Up. Finally, all the people in Nottinghamshire and South Derbyshire have got a vehicle that was made for them. It's an electric vehicle with four doors that barely carries four people that says A up. A up.
Does it say Chuck on the boot?
A up Chuck, yeah, for when you've gone past.
Is it the Wallace and Gromit version?
It says A up on the front and Duck on the back. A up Duck.
They are missing a massive marketing opportunity if they don't get Wallace and Gromit to do the adverts.
And some trousers.
Oh, dear me.
So, e-vehicles are just... I noticed that Bobby Llewellyn went to... he's been on the Big Show a couple of times, and he's a lovely, lovely guy. Comes on quite happily. But he went to a thing where a farmer had got a wind turbine and a vehicle that was electrical, and he was boasting about the fact that he was carbon neutral, completely carbon neutral, because the wind turbine would generate all the electricity for his vehicle. He's done over 20,000 miles in the vehicle. Fantastic. Well done, mate. But I said, how much was the wind time in it? How much was the wind turbine and how much was the car? And he went, yeah, well, it was quite expensive. No shit. I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of pounds to save the planet. Which best will in the world, if I got it to burn, if I was Jeff Bezos, then fair enough. But I ain't. And that's the real issue.
Isn't farming the least carbon neutral job there is in the whole of the country? Especially if you produce cattle.
Well, that's the thing with a lot of the figures. They talk about, you know, fossil fuels and stuff, but actually cows farting and dinosaurs farting was the biggest issue.
Yeah, one
of them.
Well, to be fair, dinosaur farting isn't much of an issue anymore.
Well, me farting is. As my wife will tell you, I spent most of last night in bed doing it.
You better
offset
it then.
No, in my defence, they didn't smell.
Oh, well,
that's what they all say.
Well, to me, they didn't. Yes, exactly. Good point.
Yeah, but you like the smell, you know, and everybody likes the smell of their own.
But the fort, you know, hang on, Fort's making a good point in the chat room here. He's got a Grand Caravan, which I'm guessing is the Chrysler minivan thing, and he's got 147,000 miles on it, so that's why he keeps it, because, you know, that's the carbon neutrality of it is based on the fact he's not buying a new vehicle that costs time and money to make, etc. So Bron was eaten, apparently, so, oh well.
But surely the... how good that is with the emissions and all that kind of stuff goes down when you keep it for longer. Is it not a case of that it's like the newest cars are the best in terms of carbon emissions and things like that, and it gradually gets worse as they get older? So it's maybe okay for them, but it's not necessarily helping the environment. I don't mean that to have a go at you there, Fort. I'm just making a point.
Fort is saying it's paid for and it hasn't blown up yet, which is a good point. Mine's got 150,000 miles on it, my van, and I keep an old crappy van because I don't want anyone to know what's in it. Because what's in it is worth about 60 times the value of what the van is. So I don't want to get rid of it, and it passes its emissions test every year, so surely that's the benchmark.
The carbon thing with cars is pretty misleading. I really don't want to get into this eco argument, but if you've got a van that's 20 years old and done 200,000 miles, they are not spending all that carbon and electricity and other energy building you another car. Because the cost of building a car, producing it, getting the metals and all the other stuff and all the things that go into building it far outweighs the running cost of a car for 3 years. So if you buy a new car every 3 years because the new one's more carbon neutral, you're an idiot, because that's not a valid argument. And it's like these electric cars.
I'm sorry, Alex, you've lost me. Just put it in simple English there. Am I better off buying a car every 3 years or not buying a car every 3 years?
No.
So I'm better off running my van into the ground.
Your old van. And you would normally buy a car every 3 years.
Right.
You have saved on the manufacturer carbon cost of almost 7 new vehicles.
Really?
Of course you have.
Oh, I feel good about myself now.
Every time you get the metal, you build this car, all the electricity and power and the carbon emissions to produce a new car is massive. It's far more than the running cost in carbon for 3 years of running that car. So, in fact, your carbon level... your carbon footprint is far, far lower than not having 7 other cars manufactured.
And if I keep my van and I keep running it, I'm getting better and better every year as long as I keep passing that emissions test. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
So every time you keep an older vehicle, a new one isn't being produced, you're far more carbon efficient doing that. And the batteries... It will become a tipping point, but at the moment, a lot of the batteries and the cost to the environment of breaking up those batteries when they're finished is enormous. So the actual emissions they claim, saying you're not using X amount of tons of emissions by running an electric car for X amount of years, they don't take into consideration the cost of building that car and the enormous cost of dismantling.
There you go, Wheatley, you Scottish smuggy bastard.
Okay, now that...
I don't mind. If I don't buy a car, I'm not going to like stop one coming off the conveyor belt. I'm fine. If everybody stopped,
no, they're built to order.
Point, but One's not going to make a difference.
Well, that's what they all say.
Yeah, exactly.
You change the world by everyone joining together.
And I just want you to know, Paul, I didn't mean that. It was for comic value only.
I took it. I did take a fed.
Good man.
Apparently, I'm really quiet. I'm clipping on my.
Fine here, mate.
No, I can see it in the chat room. But don't worry.
Listen to them. They've been drinking. You're talking about people who, for gin, gin's a real problem for them. You know, steady on. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. We love them to bits. They've got loads of deals running into Christmas at the moment. You can still get good deals, though, using our offer codes. You've got to go through our website, and you've got to buy the stuff using the sponsors link and all the offer codes that they provide, so they know that you didn't get them from a voucher code site or any of that kind of crap. But they've got some fabulous stuff out there, really, really worth getting. Please look after them, because they look after us, and we love them to bits. So we wouldn't do this show at all without them. The whole network would collapse, because they pick up all the bandwidth, and we consume an awful lot every week. We get dedicated server that means that when things go horribly wrong, we get fixed straight away. And their service is, beyond any doubt, second to none. Dan tweeted out this week that if he'd have switched over to UK2 when I told him to, at the pub, down at the Jester in Covent Garden, he'd have saved himself a grand by now, and we're not talking a year ago. So go and check them out. They're well worth it. Love them to bits. Before I go all clippy and horrible again, Mr. Madden, do you have a cool thing for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go for fairly... Well, it came out a few months ago. Asphalt 8, the racing game, because it's available for iOS devices, Android devices, and Windows devices now as well. So it's one of the typical racing games. It has got some in-app purchases, but they're not as bad to cripple the game so you cannot play it if you don't wish to use them. It's a really fun racing game. Really fast, great graphics on it. You can play multiplayer as well, so it'll connect you up with six or seven other racers around the world, and you can all race together, knocking into each other. You can race your friends, or you can race their ghosts, depending on how quickly they've done the track. And you can just play the campaign and race all these different exotic cars. And like I say, in-app purchases, but they don't cripple the game.
How much are the in-app purchases?
I don't know, because I don't buy them, but they're there. I know they're there, because they're always there.
I bought Princess Salon tonight for the daughter.
Is there something you want to tell us?
No, I don't buy Princess Salon. Princess Enchanted Salon or something like that. It's got princess in it. It's got the word enchanted in it. She's learnt to read. What the hell going to do? It's not pretty. Excellent pick, mate, as long as the in-app purchases aren't necessities.
No, not this time.
If you want to read my review of Clumsy Ninja, don't bother, because it's a piece of shit. Don't buy it. Well, it's free anyway, but don't buy it. It's worth it. Mr. Wheatley, what do you have for us, mate?
Okay, well, I'm going to avoid doing the obvious thing and say the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4. I'm going to go with a thing that was on Kickstarter recently. And it only just finished yesterday. It's called Toy Mail. I tweeted out about this a couple of weeks ago.
Tell
basically
us more.
It's they're little plastic rabbits and deers, and they're little animals. They're about the size of maybe a coffee cup, maybe a little bit bigger. And the idea is that you give this to your kid, kind of 2 to 5 years old, somewhere about there, and you have an app. So anywhere you are in the world, you can send a message to this toy mail thing, because you connect it to your Wi-Fi. And basically, this little device then plays your message. So it's almost like sending voicemails to your kid, who's maybe too young to have a phone or to use the phone or something like that. And then if they reply, whatever they say immediately after your message stops, sends back to you as a voice message to your phone. They just look awesome. So I backed them on Kickstarter, and they just finished yesterday, and I'm really looking forward to receiving them.
Excellent.
I think, unfortunately, my kids are, one's too old and one's too young for this, but I backed them because I think it's so great. And hopefully in the next kind of year or something like that, my youngest will be interested in this. But they look pretty superb.
Excellent. Good pick. We like Kickstarter anyway, because it's utopian.
Yes.
Well done, yes. Mate.
You can still buy them. I want to say they're about £30 each, but I can't actually see at the moment. They obviously haven't updated their website since.
How much did you back?
I backed two of them. It was like $100 or something like that. I ordered two. I was going to get. I'm going to give one to my brother for his little girl.
We're still pressing ahead with Jeff Gamet sings the Bee Gees. He's currently recording the sample for that for our Kickstarter project. It's $10,000. And if you pledge $1, you will get sod all. You tight bastards. I promise you. It's coming. Watch this space. Mr. Fox, what have you got for us, pal?
What have I got? I've got worries about the imminent release of Gran Turismo 6 and Forza 5, because I'm going to have to buy them both in the next week. But my money-saving tip, and I have actually tweeted this out, and I think Mr. Batwinch was kind enough to reply saying that he'd used it, which is great news, it's a voucher that I got sent to me by Amazon Local the other day, which is a six-month voucher for Love Film for just £10. And I looked along the internet of other places, and they were saying, this thing's run out. But if you actually go to local.amazon.co.uk, there's loads of nonsense after it, but you'll be able to find it from there, local.amazon.co.uk. You'll be able to find a six-month voucher, and it's still running for 8 days, 2 hours, and 36 minutes, 18 seconds at this point. So, you know, you've got 8 days to get on with it, but it's for new subscribers only, but £10, 6 months of Love Film, it gives you enough time to try it out, I think. And, I mean, it's something we go on the media show. Love Film, I never used to like Love Film. I used to think, I could never find anything. And they've changed all their user interfaces and everything. It's so much better searchable now. And I'm probably now using Love Film as much as I did Netflix. If you are new...
How does it stack up next to Netflix, though? Give us a comparison, direct.
I think Love Film, to me, Love Film seems to have the more intelligent film. I don't tend to use it. I mean, I did watch Whitechapel on Love Film rather than Netflix. I mean, Carl can answer because he uses both as well. But, I mean, I used to have real trouble with Netflix. Couldn't really find anything I liked. But it's more cerebral, I think. I watched Life of Pi on here the other day. And there's enough that I probably could find a good film to watch every night of the week if I wanted to. And I'm sure I could do that for 6 months. It's slightly different to Netflix. Netflix to me seems to be more TV based. But like I say, for £10 for 6 months for a new subscriber, I really heartily recommend it. And I would imagine that you'd carry on using Love Film after that. So anyway, local.amazon.co.uk and get £10 for 6 months. 72% saving, thanks.
Excellent pick, mate. Thank you very much. Jolly good. Righty, what have you got for us, buddy?
I'll carry on the kind of on-demand TV thing. I've been using a thing called Tank Top TV. I think it's probably been around for a little while, but just got into using it. But it's a website, you go there, you can kind of type in the TV shows and the movies that you're looking for. But basically, when you click on it, so I've got something like the IT Crowd, if you click on it, it tells you all across the internet where you can get it on demand.
Right.
Basically it says it's on 4OD, you can get it on Sky. It also tells you where you can buy it on Blu-ray and DVD. But at the moment, it also searches Love Film. It doesn't do Netflix, which is the only problem with it. But if you're looking for something to watch, you can just click on the link and it'll give you all the places. It'll also tell you where it's free, where you can pay for it. So you can go around and buy all the free versions instead of paying the on-demand ones. So if you're kind of short of something to watch at the weekend, it's well worth a look.
Excellent, mate. We like that. Awesome. Totally good. My cool thing, first of all, Bristol Beer Factory. Thank you, Anders UK on Twitter, Andy Vaughan. He gave me some of these just for taking pictures of his little baby at the weekend, and the beers are fantastic. Apart from the chili beer, I thought that was shit. But that did take me back to the British Beer Festival with Carl. And I drank chili beer at the start, first pint I had, and I wasn't well for the rest of the day. So I think there might be a bit of psychology involved there. But the ultimate stout that I've got here in front of the camera, if you're watching the video feed, is absolutely gorgeous, and the milk stout is unbelievable. And if you go online, and this was a thing I said, oh, the British Beer Fest, absolutely brilliant. They picked up the Twitter comment about Bristol Beer Factory. They replied on Twitter saying, check out the website. I went to the website. I ordered the beer. The beer had got a set price. I thought, yeah, but how much is it going to cost me for the delivery? Free. Delivery's included. So I've ordered 36 bottles of milk stout. They should be here tomorrow. Free of charge. Love them to bits. Thank you very much. My other pick, because I watched this yesterday. We recorded it the other day when it was on Sky, and we sat down with the kids yesterday and watched it. Back to the Future 2. Now, it's a crap film. But the one thing I would put... Well, okay, it's a switch-your-brain-off film. You don't have to think particularly hard. It's loose entertainment.
I will accept that the second one's the weaker of the three, but I'm not having any of that.
All right, okay, it's not shit. But I didn't say it was shit. It's okay, moving on.
I don't think you turn your brain off. You'd be totally confused towards the end.
The thing is that when Doc sits in the car and resets and says, we've got to go forward to the future to save your kids, he goes to December the 11th, 2015. So we're only 2 years away from when Doc Brown said he had to go to save him. There was hoverboards, there was self-tightening shoes, there was self-fitting jackets and all that kind of crap, and flying cars with lanes in them.
Well, according to Amazon, we might have drone deliveries by then.
And Jeff Bezos has got fat frigging chance of getting that through before 2015, I promise you. So that was my pick, just on the basis that we're only 2 years away from that. And the chat room's having a go at me. I didn't say it was a shit movie. I said it's not a great movie.
Nowhere near as bad as the other word they've been used.
Three was pretty poor as well, I think, in a race for shitness. But the other thing is as well, I had Paulums on in the thing, and he said he was watching Blackadder Christmas Carol. And I said, if that was a stairway of Blackadder from 1 to 4 in terms of evolution, the Christmas Carol was the one you wiped your feet on before you climbed the stairs. It was crap.
Oh, I don't know. Back and forth was pretty bad.
The Blackadder forth.
Back and forth.
Which is
the Millennium one.
Okay. Maybe I've got them mixed up then.
Yeah, I think you have, because I think...
Maybe that's actually the step outside the doormat that you wipe your feet on before you hook the flight of stairs.
That's the understairs cupboard where we all greened it. That's how
seconded. There you go. That's it. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Madden?
You get me on Twitter at Clausio101 or on my website at macandforth.com.
Excellent. Any here and nows, Joe?
No more rest this year, and that so that means the Christmas special's cancelled this year as well.
Are we not
Christmas
doing?
Christmas is cancelled.
Are we not doing a play?
No, not this year. She's too busy, so
well,
can't do it.
Listen, now we've got Tom Merritt lined up for the Christmas show. He's definitely on. Would you like to write us a play, and we'll do a live play with sound effects and the whole shebang?
No.
Oh, come on, mate.
No, God, no.
That would be awesome. We'll do a live play, and we'll have like 9 Skype lines running.
And no green.
No green screen. Yeah, we'll do it on Google Hangouts or something. Oh, come on, mate. You're good at that.
No. That's too big a project.
I buy him a few beers and we sit in a pub, I'm sure we
that was Madden going bar humbug.
Bar humbug indeed.
Well, we can tell what this year's is going to be based on then, can't we?
Wheaters, where are you, buddy?
You can get me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Wheatley on Twitter, but you can also get me on The Gamer Show on this network as well.
And it's... Oh, hang on. Where's my mic? Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
All right. This is really weird. Because my mic's going out. I think that's what the hissing is. The Gamer Show is well worth listening to. I've got 4 weeks to catch up on, though, I have to admit. So
yeah, so you've not hit the point where I reduced the amount of things that I bleep yet?
No.
No, so, yeah.
No, the thing is, the subtler the... I mean, I know Sam and Chiz are pretty good at like, the subtle thing that you can bleep.
Well...
having spent 4 hours with them, that's all it took to realise that was the case, so... Ellis doesn't work it out, so it's fine.
Yeah,
if my son can work out what they mean, then fair enough. Ellis has been doing sex education at school, and he's already had a conversation with me that he started about whether the Immaculate Conception actually occurred or whether Mary was just shagging around. he's getting more perceptive, I admit, but some of the stuff that you guys come out with, I think.
Yeah, well, we're trying to start a video one as well. We've got one kind of sorted down. We're not going to do a kind of a video live thing like you're doing, but we're going to try and do kind of reviews and us just kind of talking over the top of them. So
because you could offend people who follow the devil if you did. You should put it out on Google Plus at least, though. But you can put it on Justin TV. It doesn't make any difference. People will watch. It's amazing what shit people will watch. Trust me.
Yeah. No, we're trying to just do kind of reviews, like little 20-minute reviews of games and things like that while we talk over the top of them. So we've recorded a couple of them at the moment, and I'm just waiting on you sending me the opening credits so that I can publish them.
Well, I'll give you the login for the YouTube channel as well. You stick them on there.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Spot on. And then link to them in Facebook and the Google Plus thing and all that kind of shit. I have got the stuff, and I said, because the thing is, my problem is finding just the start. So there we go. Before my mic craps out completely, hello? No, I'm out.
Is it?
I'm out. There we go. Oh, if I hold it up, it doesn't seem so bad. Oh, there's a life to live by. Foxy, where are you, buddy?
Alex G. Fox on Twitter. I do the Bleep Free Media Show with Carl, Russ and Tone. We seem to be fairly right.
Did you do one yesterday?
Did we do? Yeah, I think so. Did we?
Yeah, I've got a comic show to post as well, but I haven't even posted the match show yet. So.
I mean, Russ takes a few days to sort of dot the I's across the T's.
And so he should.
He's very good at that. And I'm hoping to be invited to be a guest writer on the Mac and Forth website, but no one's asking yet.
Well, you could be a guest writer on the Christmas play for the BTN network, but
I'll keep nagging him about.
Good man, good man. Thank you, mate. And Righty, where the hell are you?
Hello, mate. You'll get me Twitter at Paulhams, and hopefully this week somewhere I've been sadly lacking, which is writing for the British Tech Network.
Yeah, some reviews. You've been slacking, boy.
I've been busy, boy.
I've got, for our delectable benefit... Oh, hang on. My microphone's dying. I've got, for our benefit, mate, a Nokia 625 coming this week from Nokia Direct. And thanks to Batwench and Mr. Batwench for sorting that out for us. Mao sent me through the direct contact that she managed to get in touch with at Nokia, and I've written to them and made ourselves known to them. They said, "Oh, right, yeah, cool. You look like you love your Nokia. Great."
Okay.
So, 625's on its way this week. So,
are you reviewing that on the Mac, shall we?
I'm still getting emails. I'm collecting them together. Probably next week I'll have enough to for a spleen venting.
Well, I think before then we'll need to club together and get you a new XLR cable, because I think that's what's...
I don't think it's the XLR cable, because actually, you see, what I've got is I've got this new thing here that's got a mute switch on. And the mute switch is great, apart from the fact that when you let the mic sit on its own weight on the little extender that I've got, it then gets this, like, impedancey build-up thing. But if you hold it up by the mic, it doesn't do it. So I've spent... There we go, see? You wobble it. There you go. Loose connection. Loose connection, see?
You used to get that on the old USB mic. You couldn't get that on that. It's phantom power, isn't it?
I'm just going to hold it, I think, from now on. Be done with it.
Yeah,
you can all listen to me snort and fart and be done with it. I put it on there I bought this thing at 80 quid for proprietary reasons, because people were complaining about the fact that they could hear me in the background doing shit, so bollocks. We'll see you again next week. We'll be back on not Thursday, because I'm a nights on Thursday on the railway. We're back on Friday, which means that Carl's not going to be here and a few others aren't, so who knows, I might be here on my own. I'll do a big show on my own, that'll be worth it. Jesus. See you next week. Thanks for listening.